Timothy chapter 4. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. While you're turning, one other prayer request to remember Bonnie and Morris Bryant. They're on the way to Charleston today. She has to go for her weekly visits and following her kidney transplant. Things are going well, and continue to keep them in prayer. And they were traveling today, I believe it was, to Charleston for be back in a couple days. So you just keep them. But still not able to have visitors at home. You're welcome to call or send a card. That'll be fine. Still not able to have visitors yet, so continue to pray for them. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We know this passage well as a passage preached many times from the first part of the chapter, but I want to go to the latter part beginning in verse 9. It is Paul's last letter, we believe, his final writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit before his death as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ under the Emperor Nero. Church and history records that he was beheaded for preaching the gospel, for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he writes this final letter to his son, Timothy in the faith, there are so many wonderful words of instruction and encouragement we find. I want to begin in verse 9 this morning. We emphasize a lot of time verses 1 through 8 and a wonderful passage of Scripture I've preached many times. But I want to pick up in verse 9 this morning in this beautiful final letter of Paul. I pray it'll be a blessing and a help to us. If you'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, beginning in verse 9, we'll read down through verse 18. Paul writes, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. In these few moments we have here together this morning, I pray that you'll speak to all of our hearts. Thank you for the wonderful spirit that we feel this morning. Thank you for the wonderful worship time of singing and fellowship and the music that has blessed us so much this morning. We ask, Lord, that now the Word of God may find rest in our souls, may find conviction upon our hearts where needed. And Lord, whatever we need to do to be right with you today, I pray we would do it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. How to keep your focus during the holidays. I don't know, maybe I caught myself and I did this morning. Several people asked me. They would ask me, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? And that's going to be sort of a typical greeting over the next few weeks. How was your Christmas? Or how was this? If they know something's going on. And then there's always the question, are you ready for Christmas? No. Never ready for Christmas. You know, you've got those apps you can put on your phone. Countdown to Christmas. It's got, you know, all kinds of little things, you know, all kinds of those crazy things. I don't put that on my phone. I don't want to be reminded of it. I just don't. I've got enough stress already. I don't need somebody every time I pick up my phone. I don't need Santa Claus looking at me going, 10 more days. You know, I don't need that, okay? So, but, you know, during this time of year, we all have a list of things that just gets longer and longer every day. We got things to do. We got things we need to accomplish. There's deadlines to meet. College students, you'll be finishing up final exams and projects here. Then high school students and middle school and elementary teachers will be looking forward to getting out in about 3 weeks. And then the choir practice and choir rehearsal. You've got all your things doing. And pray for our choir. They're excited. Pray for our choir. They're looking forward to it. They have a wonderful program. I want you to plan to be here on Friday. Don't be here Friday. That's dress rehearsal. Be here Saturday and Sunday in December. Our choir is going to be presenting a wonderful musical and drama that's going to be a blessing to you and speak to your heart during the Christmas season. And so they're busy. They're practicing. They got things to do. So we all got a list. Teachers got a list. Parents got a list. Church members, we all got staff, we got lists of things we got to get accomplished and got deadlines to meet. But isn't it so easy to get out of focus during the holidays? Now, this passage of Scripture has nothing to do with Christmas, okay? I'll start that series of messages next week, okay? I'll start my Christmas series next week. But I just really felt, after taking a few days this week to try to rest and energize and spend time with family and friends and to enjoy the days, that I begin to realize that even as Christians, it's easy for us to get out of focus. It's easy for us to get overwhelmed. It's easy for us to miss the blessings of the season. I really believe that Paul had more going on in his life than anybody else right now in this passage of Scripture. I mean, you know, he was about to literally lose his head for the cause of Christ. And yet in those moments, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives Timothy and to us, I believe, some words of wisdom and encouragement that we could use over these next few weeks to help us keep our focus. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with all the things we got to do, okay? As long as you're putting the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life, make sure everything you're doing is all about Him. Enjoy the times, enjoy the things you need to do. Some of you will be making band trips, you know, in the next few weeks, and maybe hopefully you'll be making more than one over the next few weeks, Andrew. I know you're looking forward to that. But there's so much to do, and you got so many things on your list. But let me help you this morning. Let the Word of God help you. Let Paul help us this morning how to keep our focus. And so let's give the three things this morning, very quickly this morning, how to keep it. Notice number one, let's focus on God's work. Focus on God's work. Notice in verse 11, as Paul is writing this, he's encouraging Timothy to come see him quickly in verse 9. He reminds him that there are others who had forsaken him, others who had turned their back on the work of God. And he says that only Luke is with me. But in verse 11, as he says that, he brings up a startling statement. He says, bring Mark. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. This is the one John Mark that he's referring to. If you go back to the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul and John Mark had a falling out on the first missionary journey. They went their separate ways. They had a disagreement. Did you know that Christians disagree about things every now and then? I didn't know that till I got in the ministry. I thought everybody agreed with everybody on anything. We love Jesus. We're coming to church. We got a King James Bible, you know. I mean, we're supposed to agree on everything. Boy, it didn't take me long to figure that. It wasn't the case. Man, people could disagree on some of the craziest things when it comes to church and to ministry. Even Paul. Seriously, Paul and John Mark had a falling out over the missionary journey. And it wasn't a falling out over doctrine. It wasn't a falling out over grace. It wasn't a falling out over salvation or the atonement of Christ. It was a falling out of where they were going to go to do missions. Isn't it sad today that churches don't get along with each other because they have a different opinion of what kind of work and how they're going to do the work? Listen, I believe we all just get busy with the work. Just do the work. If you got to go to Rwanda to do the work, do the work. If that's where God's calling Amber to do, let's go do it. If God's calling you to go to Williamston, then go to Williamston and do the work. But whatever it is that God has for you to do, it's time that we understand that we need to focus on the work of God. The ministry. During these next few weeks, the ministry is going to continue. We got folks who've been in the hospital. We got folks who are at home sick today. We've got folks who've had to step up this morning and step in for others who couldn't be here today. And there are other things that go on. And just because you got the bell ringers out in front of the stores, and just because there's Christmas music playing, doesn't mean that the work of God stops between now and January 1st, because it doesn't. In fact, it's going to get real busy. There's going to be opportunities to minister. There's going to be opportunities to help. There's going to be opportunities to worship and fellowship. We're going to have dinners, and we're going to have plays, and we're going to have candlelight services. And for those of you that need to be informed, yes, we will have church on Christmas Sunday. The nerve to think that we would cancel church. I've already seen churches already announcing they're not have services on Christmas Day. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why do you even have services the rest of the year? What purpose is it if you're not going to come together on the day that to celebrate God coming into our world through Jesus in a manger? If you're not going to have church on that day, you might as well close up the rest of the year, because it doesn't mean anything. Yes, we're going to have church. We're going to have an 11 o'clock worship service, and we're going to sing, and we're going to pray, and we're going to worship, and I'm going to preach, and we're going to just let her have it, okay? So do all your Christmas fun that morning. Get on over here for church, and then you can have the rest of the day to do all the other things too. But we've got to focus on the work of God this holiday season, this Christmas season. Make sure God's work has its place. That means we need to support God's work. We need to tithe. We need to give. We need to make sure that the work of God can go on. We need to make sure that we're focused on doing everything. Do not be guilty of leaving Jesus Christ out on His birthday. Wouldn't that be so sad? How would you like it if you had a party at your house for your kids, and it was a birthday party for them, and everybody that you invited decided not to show up, and those that did show up didn't even bring a gift? They just want to come eat your cake and eat your ice cream and play your games and take your goodie bags home. How would you feel? Boy, I tell you what, I'd never invite them to my house again. That's how I'd feel. That's exactly the way we treat God sometimes when it comes to this time of year. He gets last place. He's the bottom on the list. We buy everybody else's Christmas gifts. We don't even tithe their offerings. And we don't even give to missions. And we don't even help others. And we're doing all these other things. And then we get to the end of Christmas and we're just so frazzled and worn out and we're discouraged and we're depressed and we're all this kind of stuff. Now, wait a minute. Here's why. Because you lost your focus. If you focus on the work of God first, the work of the ministry. Paul had so many things he could focus on. But until the last day that God would give him on this earth, he was continuing to focus upon the ministry of the preaching of the gospel that God had given him. He had a lot of other things he could do, but the work of God was first and foremost. Notice number two. If you want to help keep your focus during the holidays, not only focus on God's work, focus on God's word. Focus on God's word. It's very interesting in verse 13. Paul asked Timothy to bring him a few things. Paul's in prison. He's in the dungeon. Very well, he could maybe see the chopping block through his dungeon window. Maybe he's witnessing to the guards who would lead him out to his death. But he writes to Timothy and says, there's a few things I'd like for you to bring for me. Bring the coat I left at Troas. Bring the books. But would you notice the last thing? But especially the parchments. When he refers to the parchments, he's referring to the Word of God. He's referring to his copies of the precious Word of God. More than likely, he's got all the Old Testament. He's got some of the things that he has written to other places. Maybe he had someone make copies for him. We're not exactly sure all that that would entail. But we do know that when he refers to the parchments, he's referring to his copies of the Word of God. Paul knew his days were numbered. He knew his time was short. He did not want to be separated from the precious Word of God. You know, I would encourage you over these next few weeks that you fall in love with God's Word all over again during this time of year. There's no more beautiful time than to dive down deep into the Word of God than during the holidays and the Christmas season. I mean, just get down. Read those stories again. I was having a conversation with some folks this week, and we were talking about there are so many things about the Christmas stories and the Christmas traditions that we assume that are not really in Scripture. They're just not there in Scripture. There's just a lot of things about, you know, we just kind of grew up and we've done pageants. And Jeannie, we've done all those things and we enjoy those things and those are great. We do those things. But there are just some things that are not in Scripture. They're just assumed. They're implications and we kind of take tradition and all those kinds of things. You say, preacher, what are you referring to? You got to come back the next few weeks to find out. Because I ain't going to tell you now. I want you to be here. I want you to dive down in the Word of God. I want you to read Matthew and Luke again real slow. Take your time. Let the Word of God speak to you in a fresh way this Christmas. Fall in love with the Word of God again. And baby, by the way, it might be a little more precious if we lay down the electronic versions of it for a while. Take the electronic versions for a while and pick up the old leather and paper again. Something about the leather and paper smells better than a smartphone. Oh, just feels good. Just feels good. Just feels good to hold it like this, you know. And it's just something about getting down. Look at those little notes you've written back when you were in junior high and high school. Maybe when you first got saved. Maybe those little passages from former pastors years ago. Or maybe a revival meeting. You saw little notes in that Bible again. You know, this is the one that I preach out of, my Scofield Reference Bible. It's the standard print. It's a little bigger than the old one I used to have. But I still have the old ones that I had when I first started preaching. I've got notes written. Man, it's falling apart. And starting next Sunday, that's the one I'm going to be preaching out of because it's red. It's a red cover. It's a red cover Scofield. I said, preacher, why'd you get a red cover Scofield? Because my pastor had a red cover Scofield. That's all that mattered. My preacher had one. Dr. John R. Rice had one. Bless God, I was going to have one, okay? And that's why I wanted a red Scofield. And that thing's falling apart. I talked to a company one time about having it rebound. And they could not guarantee me that they could save all those pages of notes and sermons, all those pages of famous preachers that I got to sign my Bible through the years. And, you know, a great men of God. And they couldn't promise me they'd save it. And I said, well, forget it. I'll just keep the old falling apart cover just like it is, and I'll just keep it together the best I can. I love the Word of God. Oh, I just want to challenge you. Get in God's Word again. Get you a good, go to Lifeway, Crossway, that way or this way, whichever Bible, Christian bookstore you want to find. Go get you a Christmas devotional book. There's a bunch of them out there. I've got some I'll let you borrow in my office. And I got a sweet one by David Jeremiah that blesses my heart. Get you some devotional and get in the Word of God again. I guarantee you this, it'd be harder to stress you out this Christmas. If you promise to spend time with God first and foremost, first thing every day, start your day in the Word, end your day in the Word, and everything in the between, let God just kind of bring it all together. Amen? Just focus on, fall in love with God's Word again. Focus on, let's last one more thing. Not only focus on God's work for God's Word, but notice in verse 17, Paul reminds us, focus on God's will. Focus on God's will. We don't find anything in this passage where Paul is protesting his rights to a longer life. We don't find anywhere where Paul is demanding a new trial or appealing the verdict. He's not asking for a new lawyer. He's not asking for all the churches to come to his aid and break him out of prison. No. Paul knows that he's got to be right in the center of the will of God to accomplish what God wants him to do. And he says in verse 17, notwithstanding, I've seen all these folks that have forsaken me. He says this. Oh, I love this, folks. Remember this. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Hallelujah. The Lord stood with you. Listen, everybody else may turn their back on you for the cause of Christ, and you may get made fun of at school because you're a Christian. You may not get that job promotion at your job because you stand up for what's right as a child of God. But I want to tell you something, the Lord will stand with you. The Lord will always stand with you. And he says here, the Lord strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul knew that the will of God was to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. He was the first one to transplant over to the continent of Europe in Acts 16. By the way, you read your history. Where did all of our forefathers and ancestors make their way to this country for religious freedom? What continent did they come from? It was Europe, wasn't it? And it was Paul, the apostle, who first went to the continent of Europe in Acts 16 to preach the gospel so that others will hear. And even he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord delivered me from every evil work. He will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, he says in verse 18. He knew that the will of God was to preach the gospel, and wherever that ended up and however his life ended, that he was confident that that's what God wanted. Folks, we need to focus on the will of God for our lives. Everybody wants to tell you what you ought to do. In fact, you're going to be tried, and people will try to convince you these next few weeks that you've got to have this, you got to order that, you got to get to this sale. Cyber Monday's tomorrow. Bless your heart. I don't think I want to get on the internet tomorrow. I don't know. It might blow up. It might be a good thing. But Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Purple Thursday. I don't know what all they call them nowadays, you know. Orange Saturday. I don't know what it is. But anyway, whatever you want to call these days, listen. Let's focus on the will of God. What does God want you to do these next few weeks? What is it about His work and His word that would cause you to seek the will of God? You know, I believe God's got a plan for all of us. I believe God's got a plan and purpose for every single one of His children. You don't have to be in Rwanda this morning with Amber to be in the will of God. Boy, thank God for that testimony this morning. Man alive, I'd like to have seen that little girl's face when that fella stepped out and walked the aisle to accept the Savior this morning. Boy, I tell you what, I would have run the aisle with her. Amen. I would have run. I mean, I don't care. They said, what would they think in Rwanda? Who cares? Who cares what they think? I mean, bless God, a soul that was on his way to hell, somebody who thought that God had rejected him, but a little old country girl from Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, made her way all the way across the world, shared the gospel with him. And if you can't get excited about that, brother, you need to just take down your Christmas tree and go home. Amen? You might as well forget it. Ain't nothing going to make you happy. Boy, praise God. And that little girl came out of this church through the love and support and encouragement and prayers out of this church. And guess what? We get to enjoy the blessings of that when we get to heaven. What do you mean, preacher? Because that fellow's going to be in heaven. And we're going to get around. We're going to dance all over heaven with him. We're going to have a good time. We're going to say, and Amber's going to say, this is it. This is him. This is the one. I mean, we're going to have it. And listen, you can get excited about ball games if you want to, but I'm going to get excited about Jesus. Amen. You go ahead. You can have your ball games, and I'm fine. That's fine. You just enjoy it. I'll enjoy it with you. But man, when it comes to the will of God, there's nothing sweeter than know that you're in the will of God. There's nothing more precious to know that it's not what's under the tree that makes the difference this Christmas. It's what God's doing in your heart, what God's doing in your life. Paul was confident. He was in the center of the will of God. He's about to lay his head on a chopping block. He is about to lay down his life and breathe his last on this earth. But you know what? He knew what was waiting for him on the other side. He knew what was waiting. And if you get this last part of verse 16, you might recognize the wording there. When he says that, I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Talk about all those folks that forsook him, turned their back on him during the ministry. Wait a minute. I've heard that phrase before. I've heard that wording before. You know where it was? It was old Deacon Stephen who said those exact same words as he stood there receiving all the rocks and stones as they were stoning him to death in Acts chapter 7. And it was the Saul of Tarsus that was ordering his execution and holding the coats of all those that were throwing the stones. And Stephen looked up to heaven and said, God, don't lay it to their charge. I believe those words never left the Apostle Paul's mind, because on his dying last letter, he says the same phrase. He knew he was in the will of God and he was going to do what God had for him to do, and he did not even want those people to worry about that they forsook him. He says, just make sure you meet me in heaven on the other side. Oh, can you say that to all of your family today? Do you know that all of you and your family will meet together on the other side? If this were your last Christmas, if this were your last holiday, Are you in the will of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ready to meet Him today? Well, Paul had one last thing. He said, what it all comes down to, it's the last part of verse 18. And this is how to keep you focused during the holidays. And notice in conclusion, just praise Him. Just praise Him. Verse 18, he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Paul said, listen, Timothy, when it all comes down to, don't worry about mourning for me. Don't worry about what we didn't get to do. Know that this is what God wanted. This is how He wanted it done. We're going to serve Him till the last breath. And when it's all said and done, we're just going to praise Him for all of eternity. To Him be glory forever and forever. Listen, you'll enjoy Christmas a whole lot more these next few weeks if you just learn to praise Him. Just learn to praise Him. So, well, I don't know what I'm going to get. You don't need anything, by the way. They just really nothing you need that badly. But what God needs for us to do is just praise Him. You have the best Christmas you ever had. Just learn to praise Him. Listen, if you can't praise Him after hearing this little girl sing, I don't know what to do for you. Man, that'd bless your heart. You ought to go back and listen to that again. And if you can't praise Him after hearing the reports from Amber and Rwanda this morning, I don't know what to do to help you. Maybe you need to get your eyes off yourself. Put your focus where it needs to be. Focus on the work of God. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the will of God. Let's just spend all of this Christmas praying. Jeannie, I want to tell you something. I want to say it publicly in front of this congregation here this morning to all of you choir members. I know y'all been struggling these last few weeks. Y'all seem like y'all are just all overwhelmed with this, with the Christmas play. Can I tell you something? Please don't get stressed and overwhelmed. We really don't care whether you hit every note, whether everybody remembers every line, whether you've got all the decorations and all the stuff out. Listen, y'all just come over here. I want you to just have the time of your life. I want you to praise Him, and if you play the tape and just stand up here and mouth the words, we really don't care. Can I get a witness this morning on that? I want you to notice something. Listen, I love you choir members. I used to be a full-time music director. Gary, you used to be a music director. Steve, you used to be a music director. You know what it's like. Listen, I want to tell you something. I really don't want y'all stressing over this. I don't want it to ruin your Christmas. I don't want it to ruin your holiday. We're going to show up that if you still want us to come those nights. And I'm saying this with all the love of a pastor. You've never heard a pastor talk like this before, but I'm going to tell you something. Jeannie, choir members, we love every one of you. We thank God for every single one of you. We thank God for all the time you spend in singing and practicing and working. John, you and Tracy, back there in that sound room, we thank God for you. Thank God for all that you do. Tracy's not able to be here this morning. Look at me. I want you to know something. We really don't care if you hit every note. We don't care if you remember every line. As far as we're concerned, you could bring the book up here and quote your lines. You could play the CD and play the voices over the sound system. Y'all could just mouth the words. We're used to seeing that on TV and everybody else anyway. That really doesn't matter to us. Please, don't stress. Don't be worried. Don't be upset. We want you to enjoy this. And listen, if it just comes down to y'all just sit up here, turn that CD on, and y'all just sit up here, we'll sit out here and listen to you. And we'll enjoy every bit of it. And then we'll all go to Olive Garden and eat dinner, okay? Amen? How about that? I love you. I'm your pastor. I don't want you to be stressed. I know some of you are stressed right now over it. Some of y'all are stressed over some other things in your life. I say that to Jeannie and the choir because I want them to know it publicly right here. You heard it right here. Okay? You heard it. So y'all better pack this building that night. Saturday night and Sunday night. Bring all your friends. And we're just going to sit here and we're just going to enjoy it. And it doesn't matter. Listen, if y'all put up my preaching, y'all can put up with them. Okay? No big problem. No big deal. Right? We're going to enjoy this. We're going to focus. We're going to praise God. Kitty, amen? Isn't that wonderful? Go ahead. Go ahead, girl. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Learn to smile when everybody else would probably be
Amen.
Been had a hard time.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't have to hear it.
Amen. I love you, Kitty. God bless you. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Isn't that work? I'm glad I came to church this morning. I'm glad I came to church this morning. And y'all going to enjoy choir practice more today. Okay? Just enjoy it. Okay? It's no stress. No problem. We just love Jesus. We're going to praise Him. Let's join together in prayer. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank You for this day. I thank You for our church. I thank You for allowing me for these last nearly 16 years to pastor some of the sweetest people on this side of heaven. Lord, I know that all of us, including myself, we got a lot on our mind. And Lord, if we allow those things to overwhelm us, they will. Let's just make a commitment this morning. God, in these next few weeks, I'm not going to get stressed. I'm not going to get overwhelmed. I'm not going to get worried. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get bothered. I'm just going to trust You. I'm just going to get involved in God's work. I'm going to fall in love again with God's Word. And God, I'm just going to follow Your will. Whatever it is, I'm going to enjoy it. And then when it's all said and done, I'm just going to praise You every single day. I'm just going to praise You for whatever it is that You bring our way. And I just wanted You to know, Lord, as a church, we need that. We crave that this morning. Oh God, I pray, whatever it is that we may need to do in our lives this morning, if there's some need, some decision, whatever we need to do, thank You for these sweet testimonies. Thank You for this sweet singing, this sweet spirit. And whatever it is, we just want to praise You today. Thank You for this time. During this invitation, whatever we need to do, I pray we'd come. Our deacons will be here at the front. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. Well, let's just close it with an